This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, this is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and last week we talked about Jesus being Judah's scepter, a prophet like Moses and the Lord's shepherd. This week, Jesus is the one who makes the world new again. And I want everyone to get out their sermon outlines so you can follow along this week as we talk about who Jesus was, both then, is now, and when he comes back, who he's going to be then too. Now, we all know there's a really popular Christian Christmas song called Mary, Did You Know? I think everybody loves that song. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you, but that's my opinion. The song asks a series of questions. Now, we've been taught along the way that the angel Gabriel's message took care of all of the details of the things that Mary needed to know. Yet the song asks some really good questions. And so I'm going to share with my compliments to Mark Lowry and Buddy Green, the two gentlemen who wrote the song back in 1984. With their compliments, I'm going to share the lyrics with you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Verse 2. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Then the chorus, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day or will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Well, let's see what the scriptures say about what Mary might have known. The passage is the section before today's gospel reading. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. And this is going to cover Gabriel's visit to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee from Nazareth, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Do we believe that? So, what did Mary know? Did she know that her baby would walk on water? Probably not. I mean, we didn't read anything about that in Gabriel's message. Oh, one of these days that son you're going to have is going to step out of a boat or walk off the shore and walk across the Sea of Galilee right on its surface. Nah, nothing in there about that. So Mary probably didn't know that. Did she know that he would save our sons and daughters? Very likely, yes. Because that's the whole purpose. I think Gabriel probably covered that a little bit. Our Luke passage may not say exactly that, but in Matthew 1, 20 to 23, we read where the angel tells Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that prophecy is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, most likely, under the circumstances, Joseph no doubt told Mary about the visit from the angel. So we can be pretty sure that Mary knew that the child that she was going to carry was going to be saving people from their sin and be the Savior. But, and this is on your outline, there is a downside to all of this. And we may say, well, how can there be a downside to God's plans? And so I'm going to ask, this is a question for response. How can there be a downside to God's plans? We are a room full of optimists, I see, because you say, well, how can anything be wrong with God's plan? But let's take a look. And this is also on your outline. You see, God's plans aren't always easy, and they're not always safe. If you think that following Christ will always lead to still waters and green pastures, you're sadly mistaken and in for a shock. That being said, let's continue. Sometimes God's plans are downright dangerous. Missionaries go to unsafe places. Many of the early explorers were believers, and they entered into unsafe places. Many believers over the years have lost their lives because they were willing to follow their faith in unsafe places, like communist regimes, like a man named Richard Wurmbrand, who wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. Then there's Muslim countries or extreme Hindu nations, like in India now, where Christian churches are being burned to the ground and Christians are being murdered by Hindu extremists. As one preacher said, God's plans are not always safe, but they are good. God's plans for Mary's life were good. She was favored. The Lord was with her. She had found favor with God. You can see the excitement in Mary's voice as she sang her song that we call the Magnificat. That was what we read today in our gospel reading. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," in Luke 1, 46 to 40, 55. She was excited to be a part of God's plans. She took the angel's words to heart when he said, "Don't be afraid." What was her answer at the end of all of that? "Be it done according to your will." And she was probably 14 years old, knowing the dangers of being with child before being married in Israel. But she said, "Be it done according to your word." So she was excited to be a part of God's plans. And now we're back on the outline to do all of that delivering and saving that her son, Jesus, was going to do would come with a cost. And the first hint we have that Mary was finding out the price tag for being the mother of the Son of God was when Simeon greeted Mary in the temple a few days after Jesus was born. Remember, that was on the eighth day where he was presented and officially named at his circumcision. We read about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and this is Simeon, he takes Jesus in his arms and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Yet we get a hint that Mary might not have known as much as we think, because verse 33 continues with, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Now think about that. Should they have been amazed at what Simeon was saying if they knew what Gabriel had told both of them? No. But they were marveling. It's sort of like they're saying, wow, really? Really? He's going to do all of that? Then comes the shocker. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. How would you like it if some prophet came up to you and said about your son and regarding you, because of what this child's mission is, a sword is going to pierce your soul? First of all, we'd be saying, what in the world does that mean? And then we'd say, don't tell me, I don't want to know. Because of what would happen. Now, who has an idea of what that heart-piercing sword might have been?
His death.
Okay, Jesus' death. Bingo. That's exactly right. And not only that, she was going to watch it happen. I don't know about you, but if I ever had to watch my son die, it would get me. Either of them. That's going to pierce your heart. You see, and this is also in your outline, there were all of those prophecies. One preacher pointed out one time that there were almost as many prophecies about a suffering Messiah as there were about a kingly Messiah. The people were excited about the Messiah coming to rule, but they didn't piece it together that the Messiah would also go through torment too. Check out Psalm 22, written by King David 900 and something years before Jesus physically entered the earth. Because it tells us an awful lot about Jesus' life and his crucifixion. The psalm opens with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verses 7 and 8 tell us about what would happen at the cross. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. You read the gospel accounts? That's exactly what the Pharisees are saying when they're walking around in front of the cross saying, We got him. We got him. We got him. He trusts in God. Let God come save him if he believes in him. Psalm 22 goes on to talk about how they actually divide his garments among them and cast lots for his clothing. The Roman soldiers did precisely that in front of the cross. Then the person prophesying, David, says, I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. Jesus had been beaten badly, so badly that his bones were actually visible very nearly, where you could actually, you know, you've seen some of these pictures of these hunger relief agencies where the flesh is shrunk down and you can actually count their ribs. That's what Jesus was going through. So he could count his bones. Then there's Psalm 69:21 that says, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Remember they put that sponge up to Jesus' lips that had gall and vinegar on it. I don't know about you, but vinegar is not terribly tasty. But that's what they gave him. And Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Can you imagine having the hair of your beard pulled right out? That's what they did to Jesus. And right now, I can honestly tell you, I'm not too wild about that idea either. But they did. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. They spit on Jesus. So much so that one prophecy and passage says that he was like soaked. That's gross. And then we get to Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah's prophesying that the Jews were going to reject him. They were going to run away and turn their back on their own Messiah. Simeon's prophecy said that. You know, you're going to divide people. That the heart-piercing really reality meant that everyone was not going to love her son. Do you think Mary knew all of that? There is suffering in these verses, and every one of those prophetic words were fulfilled by Jesus' death on the cross. It was a death that Jesus' mother Mary stood on the hillside and watched with her own eyes. Mary, did you know? Probably not. Who in the world could know that ahead of time and still be willing to go through with it? You think so? Think she would have said, oh, wait a minute, Lord, I'm grateful for the honor, but can't you go find Miriam down the street? Probably. Did Mary know about the miracles? Yeah, probably. Did Mary know that her son would give sight to a blind man and calm the storm with his hand? She may have known about the blind seeing because the angel Gabriel told her that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is a messianic promise. And by that, Mary was probably aware that Jesus would open the eyes of the blind because there were some miracles that only the Messiah would perform, like raising the dead and opening the eyes of the blind, that she was just told that he was going to do of his kingdom. There will be no end. That's a messianic promise. Then there's the angel's words in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us. These, and this is on your outline, are the words about the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And only the Messiah would be able to open the eyes of the blind and bring the dead back to life. Her son would do things that only the Messiah would do. And those lines from Gabriel told both Joseph and Mary that their son would do these things. Maybe not in those precise words, but by being prophesied as that their son, or in Joseph's case, his earthly guardians type arrangement, their son would be the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. So if they took that to heart, they would say, oh yeah, he's going to do some really special stuff. He's going to do some miracles. He's going to help the blind to see. The lame will walk. The dead will live again. But remember, God's plans can be dangerous, and they come with a cost. So, again, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. But did Mary really know that when she kissed her baby, she was kissing the face of God? Did she really know that the baby she carried for 9 months was really Lord of all creation? Well, yeah, she did know that, because of that kingdom there will be no end. She was told that he was going to be the Lord of all creation. He was going to reign forever. And the only way that could be possible to reign forever is for him to be Lord of all creation. So, yeah, she probably knew that. Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Son of God. So to be the Son of God in Jewish culture meant to be equal with God, or God the Son. All the Jews knew that. The Pharisees knew that. But as we studied when we went through the Gospel of John for almost a year, we found out that the Pharisees tried every way possible to ignore that fact and to deny that fact. They tried every way possible to reject Jesus. And eventually they thought they got away with it. But they ran from that reality and they rejected him. Now, we come to the last part. Did Mary know that he will make all things new? She may have come to understand that he would make all things new as his mission unfolded, as she watched along with the rest of the world. Or she may have just believed in the ultimate good of his life and mission because of her words of acceptance. Be it done according to your word. This is on your outline. By faith, she accepted that God's plan was a good one. It was good for us that Jesus suffered, because it is through his suffering that we find forgiveness. The angel told Mary not to fear God's plans for her life. Don't be afraid of how God will do his plan in your life, Gabriel told her. Perhaps he would say the same thing to us. If an angel came to tell you what God's plan for your life was going to be, most likely the first thing he would say if you saw an angel was, don't be afraid. Because if you saw an angel in front of you, you would probably be afraid, because they don't immediately look like all those cute, handsome people and touched by an angel. Sorry, ladies, there may not be an angel that looked like Andrew. But because those angels in reality are about 7 or 8 feet tall, and they probably look like a linebacker for the Los Angeles Rams. So you're going to look at this dude and you're going to say, it's not me. Whoever you want to deliver your message to, it's not me. It's to that dude on the corner down there. So they're going to say, don't be afraid. Fear not. By faith, though, Mary accepted that God's plan was a good one. And again, it was good for us that Jesus suffered, because it was through his suffering that we find forgiveness. The angel told Mary not to fear God's plans for her life. Don't be afraid of how God will do his will for your life. Gabriel told her, perhaps he would say the same thing to us, of course. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do in your life. Don't be afraid of how his plans are changing yours. Do we know that God's plans frequently change our plan for our life? all the time. So what of your plan? So what of your plans does God seem to be changing right now? If you're thinking about it. What is not turning out the way you wanted? A little time for reflection here. What is God leading you to do that you just don't want to do? Keep that list to under 5 items if you're going to try to share it with me. What is happening that you don't know if you have the courage to handle? You see, God's plans definitely take us out of our comfort zone, don't they? God's plans are sometimes dangerous. God's plans are a mystery. Not because it's a mystery to God, but because it's a mystery to us that we can't figure it out. What is God asking each one of us to do this day that is a definite challenge in each of our lives? But if God does say something to you through His Word or through something in the church, through prayer, through the witness of the Spirit, through one of your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ saying, hey, I got a word about you. Don't run away from it. It may be dangerous, but ultimately it's going to be good. It might make us afraid a little bit. It'll take us out of our comfort zone into unknown places. Places we may think we don't want to go. But let's not be afraid of what God wants to do. Let's be like Mary, even if we don't know the full extent of what God wants to do. Things may very well not turn out the way we want them to be or the way we expect. But we can be assured that if we get out of God's way and let God be God, things will eventually turn out for good. Things may not be safe. Things may not be easy. Things may be downright unpleasant at times, but His plan is still good. His plans for our lives are to be prosperous, but that doesn't mean at times they might not be painful. Our job is just to say, yes, Lord, and like Mary, say, be it done according to Your word, even if we don't know at first what will happen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.